Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. So a few days ago, we asked you guys to send us questions on Instagram, and today we will be answering them. Some of them are serious and others aren't, so we hope you guys enjoy getting to know us more in this episode, so let's get started. Okay, so the first question says, what is one goal you hope to accomplish with your podcast?
I feel like, in my opinion, one goal I hope to accomplish with this podcast is to give a voice to Muslim youth, because a lot of times someone is either speaking for us, or we're misrepresented. So I feel like there aren't a lot of Muslim youth that are out there talking about their experiences. And that's what I think, from my perspective, I hope to accomplish with this. What about you?
I think the same thing, because like I've noticed that there's a lot of podcasts coming up now, but and I was listening to two of them and they were really interesting, but I didn't feel like I connected to them. So I really wanted to start this so I could find something that I connected with and like have that for other people as well.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so the second question says, what made you guys decide to start a podcast and not a YouTube channel?
Well, I think the reason we started a podcast and not a YouTube channel is because like we're too ugly for a YouTube channel. But no, that's not really the reason. I'm just kidding. I think it's because like we wanted something on the go. So if you have like a podcast that you're listening to, you can listen to it whenever you're doing something. You don't have to like sit down and watch the video. And it's just like much easier and more convenient.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like podcasts today are a very good medium to just connect with people. And it's really a lot about the content and what you're saying, and not so much about the visuals. And like YouTube is really great for that. But
yeah, exactly.
I feel like a podcast is a really unique way to share important ideas with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So this next question is a bit deeper. It's asking, what are your future life goals?
I would say my future life goal is to create something that has a positive impact on people and on the world, and something that extends beyond my lifetime. So even when I die, whatever that thing is that I created, whether it be through my career or my personal life, it would still positively impact people.
That's a really nice life goal. Thanks. I like it.
Thanks, man. What about you?
I would say my future life goals are to have a successful career, build strong, non-toxic relationships, have a purpose throughout my life, all while doing something that I love.
Okay, the next question is definitely more serious, and it asks, what is the most difficult case of Islamophobia that you have faced?
I think the worst case of Islamophobia I faced is like just random comments from people, and they're like small-scale situations, so it's not like I've had one big situation. But I know like whenever we're out doing like the hijab booth, that's like when one of the years we had like a lot of bad comments, and like we had one creepy guy keep asking us the same thing over and over, and like he argued and stuff. But other than that, I don't recall like one big case.
Yeah. I didn't have my like one that I would consider super bad until last year. So during my first year of college, the other students in the Muslim Student Association, the MSA, which a lot of universities have, and I were selling Krispy Kreme donuts on the bridge in front of the library at my school's campus. And Krispy Kreme donuts are very popular for obvious reasons, but the closest Krispy Kreme to my school is, I think, 30 or 40 minutes away, so it's really far. So these kind of fundraisers usually like get a lot of money. Anyway, so we're selling donuts on the bridge in front of the library at my school, and someone, without asking permission and without our knowledge, like took a picture of us and then sent it to this off-campus conservative Christian ministry. And the ministry posted the picture of us selling donuts on their Facebook page. And they said, Muslim students recruiting for Allah. And then they said something else like, oh, look what's happening to our campuses. Mm-hmm. And the comments under it were horrible. Yeah. And the post like blew up. There were so many different...
I remember reading them. It was, like, really bad. Like, they were just so negative. Yeah. But then there was a lot of, like, positive under it. But I was just really surprised how people, like, take things and blow them out of proportion. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that commented really horrible things. And just people's, like, racism and hatred towards Muslims really showed. And some people were even making, like, borderline super violent comments. Like, talking about going to get rifles and, like, standing, you know, in front of the Muslims and, you know, like talk, yeah. just making things that were like really horrible. And so anyway, so the post got like a lot of shares and it was kind of like a big deal in our small little area. And it was just hard to like see people that were so hateful mm-hmm. and to then feel scared that those people were on your campus and that they kind of know who you looked like. So that was definitely scary, but it was also a learning experience. Yeah. And it helped me see as well, like, who on campus is genuinely supportive. That's and good. A lot of people really were. So yeah. it was overall a good learning experience.
So the next question asks, does being a Muslim hijabi inspire you to become even more successful?
I would say yeah, because it makes me want to represent my faith and the women who wear hijab in my faith well by showing that we're successful at whatever we do.
Yeah, and I think it's because, like, people think that Muslim women are oppressed, so, like, you feel that pressure, like, oh, I'm going to show this person I'm not by doing this, this, and this. So, yeah, I agree as well.
Yeah, it can also have the opposite effect and make you feel so much pressure that sometimes it's frustrating or irritating because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I always have to be on top of it. I always have to be performing my best because people are watching me because I'm, quote-unquote, different.
Yeah, but that's true.
In general, I think it's motivating and inspiring.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, the next question asks, what is it like celebrating Muslim holidays on a Christian holiday schedule? It's a really good question.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's difficult because I love the spirit of Christmas and Thanksgiving and all of these holidays like we don't celebrate because like everyone's celebrating them, you know? So you feel in that, you feel the holiday spirit, but when it's Eid, like you really don't feel the holiday spirit unless like you go to the masjid. And even then, it's like, okay, I feel it from, like, 8 to 10 for Salah, but then that's it. Like, you go back home. And, like, even now it's better because, like, we go out with our friends and, like, we do all these fun things. But still, like, we have to create the environment for ourselves and it's not just there. And it's, like, harder. But obviously, I think it's difficult. And, I mean, I still enjoy I still enjoy my holiday, but it's harder.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that it's also frustrating because I know so many times people have had conflicts with Eid or
you.
Yeah, with things. One time on Eid, I had an exam that morning and my professor would not let me take it on a different day. She was like, you either come and take the exam or you get a zero. And it was really annoying because I had to go to Eid Salah and I was already stressed out about my exam mm-hmm. and I was studying the night before instead of being excited for Eid like everyone else. And then after Eid Salah, I literally ran out and like rushed to my exam, took it, and then like came back with my family to celebrate. And so many of our friends too before like have had school, have had important yeah, things.
We had school on the first day last year, but like none of us went. So like all the Muslims were missing. It's kind of funny because we're a big number.
Yeah. And then people that are in graduate school or in more serious, you know, programs where they really can't miss a day. Mm-hmm. That's also unfair because they have to pick between going to a very serious like day of learning or whatever and then choosing their own religious holiday. And I think that we're forced to make a lot of really unfair choices with work or school conflicts.
Yeah, also our holiday is 3 days, but it never feels like that. And it's really annoying because like whenever we're talking to our family in Jordan, like they celebrate all 3 days and like we hardly make it that one day like to exactly. fully celebrate. And even like with visiting family and stuff, like we go to my uncle's house afterwards, like after Eid Salah, but then it's like, okay, we're done. Like we have like no one else to go visit. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like even harder for people that don't have family here. And this Eid was, like, even harder because all my family members were in Jordan. Yeah. So, like, we didn't have anyone to go visit. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. And I always have, like, Eid blues afterwards. Like, I'm always so upset.
Yeah.
And, like, it just puts me in a bad mood because I'm like, okay, well, I was looking forward to Eid. Now it's over. Like, just go back to my normal life. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Even though it's hard sometimes, I think our communities are doing a great job of, like, making us feel the spirit of Eid.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Eid is next week, so woohoo!
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. Okay, so moving on to our next questions. They're going to be, like, less serious. So the first one, what is your dream vacation?
Definitely to go to the Maldives.
The Maldives are pretty. Okay. Everyone that knows me knows that this is my dream vacation, but I've been wanting to go to Turkey since I was, like, 10. I love Turkey.
Yeah.
And I watch all the, like, Turkish series and everything, so I think I'll be prepared when I go there.
Yeah, definitely been hearing you say that you want to go to Turkey for a really long time.
If I don't go to Turkey next year, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah. You'll get there eventually, one day.
Thanks, Rowan.
Okay, next question asks, how did you guys meet?
So that's an interesting question because, like, we always ask each other how we met, but we don't know exactly. But I think it was like, so I graduated from Acevedo, which is like our Islamic school here in Greenville. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in fifth grade. And then in sixth grade, I went to like this public school. So my mom wanted me to go to like Sunday school so I could keep up with my Islamic knowledge. So I met this really nice girl, shout out Hadid. And Hadid was friends with Rawan and her sisters. And so like we just started hanging out, and there was this thing called MYC, which is just like a youth group for like girls that were our age. And I used to go to that too. And like I used to see Rawan there, and then there were just like random things at the masjid. I would see her, but I didn't really like her. Like I didn't like her. I heard a lot of things about her. Like she was just a nerd. I mean, like Rawan is still a nerd, but I was just like, this girl, me and her cannot be friends.
Yeah, we definitely did not like each other at all when we first met. I think we were around probably 11 or 12 mm-hmm. or 13 when we first met.
You were 13. I'm younger, so I was 11.
Yeah, okay. And we did not like each other at all. But then eventually through our mutual friend, Hadid, we became closer and we started hanging out more. So yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess I'm glad that I met you.
Yeah, me too. Kind of.
Thanks. Anyway, moving on to our next question. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Definitely used to be a night owl, but now I really, really enjoy the mornings and the quiet alone time.
Mine's a grandma.
Hey.
No, I don't know. It just depends on the day. Like sometimes I like to get up and be really productive and then do whatever I want like the rest of the day. But then sometimes I like to stay up and watch weird things. So it just depends.
A mood. Okay, next question. What are you studying?
I'm studying senior year. No, I'm just kidding. I want to go somewhere, and I want to study Spanish, and then maybe go to dental school.
Nice. I'm majoring in public health, and I'm on like the pre-med track in my major, and I want to go to med school and hopefully work as either a pediatrician or an OBGYN. And I'm generally more interested in women and children's health, and then finding like the intersection between policy work and medicine. So that's kind of like my dream area of study.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so the next question says, what movies have made you cry?
I cry in every single movie. It doesn't even matter if it's sad or not. I just cry at the end because I feel like
I have to, like, I don't know, maybe sometimes if I'm having a bad day, I just watch a movie and I cry anyway. But yeah. Aladdin has made me cry, even though it wasn't sad. The Notebook, Me Before You, literally every movie. I've cried, this is not a movie, but I've cried, like, the last episode of Friends. It just depends.
If I sat here and listed out every single movie that I've cried in, we would be here for a really long time. But I feel like the defining moment for me, or the one moment where I've cried the most, is in The Lion King when Mufasa dies. I cried so much, and I cry every single time I watch The Lion King and Mufasa dies, even though I know it's coming and I know it's going to happen, but I really...
I haven't watched The Lion King, so...
You have no life. But yeah, that scene tugs at my heartstrings. For those of you that are normal and have watched The Lion King, I'm sure you all can relate.
Whatever.
Okay, next question. Completely unrelated to the movies that have made us cry, but it's saying, what is the first thing you notice in a person?
This sounds horrible, but I notice the person's nose first. I don't know why, but I just like looking at people's noses.
That's kind of weird.
Be quiet, Owen. I know you look at people's noses too.
I notice their like eye region, so their eyes and their eyebrows. And I used to be really, really self-conscious about my eyebrows when I was younger because I'm Arab and Arabs tend to have thicker hair. And so my eyebrows...
And they have, like, M-shaped eyebrows.
Yeah. So my eyebrows were definitely thicker and darker than pretty much all of my female and male classmates. So I used to be really self-conscious about them. And before, like, having thicker, fuller eyebrows was trendy, it made me feel horrible about myself. And so I used to notice people's eyebrows all the time. And so, yeah, I feel like that carried on for the rest of my life. And now I just generally notice people's eyebrows and eyes first.
This is completely unrelated, but when I was younger, I had, like, really, really, really light eyebrows. Like, I had no eyebrows at all. And then my eyebrows started getting darker, and then, like, I had an M-shaped eyebrow. And I told the taxi driver that my, eyebrows were shaped in an M because I love McDonald's. And I just thought, wow, you guys like to know that.
That is the first. I've never heard that before.
So I think this next question is very important. It makes or breaks a friendship. What's your favorite TV show?
We both love Friends.
Mm-hmm. Love is an understatement.
For you, yeah. You are
obsessed.
Yeah. Okay, so other than the times when you're sitting in your room watching hours of Friends alone, do you consider yourself to be more extroverted or introverted?
Honestly, it depends who I'm around. If I'm around, like, my friends and people that I genuinely like, I'm extroverted. But if I don't like you, I'm an introvert. And at school, I'm an extrovert. So I would say I'm more extroverted than introverted, but it just depends.
Yeah. I can be an extrovert when I'm around people, and I tend to be more extroverted when I'm surrounded by others. But lately, I feel like I've become much more introverted, and I really, really need time alone in the day in order for me to be happy and to function normally. So I feel like I lean more towards introverted, but when I am in a situation around people, I am extroverted.
One of the reasons I can be introverted sometimes is because when I'm around people all the time, they start doing things that make me... And I feel like that ties in well with our next question, which is, what are your pet peeves?
I'm very passionate about this question because I literally have a notes... like a note in my iPhone that has all of my pet peeves listed in it, which is a little weird. Which is a little psychotic and crazy, but I'm one of those people that has to have all the information in my brain written out in order for me
to think. So she doesn't forget what makes her mad about you.
This is true. So some of the things that I have in my notes right now, I'm literally reading it, is when you're in class and you have something up on your laptop that's obviously not taking notes or something, and the person next to you is looking at it, and you can tell that they're staring at it.
Is someone breathing over you?
Yeah, I just think it's really rude when people stare over at your laptop or your phone, especially when they don't know you. I just think that's rude. And let's see, one other one from my list. Long nails. Long nails really make me angry. Like, I am a firm believer in having short nails and, like, cutting your nails short. And anytime someone has long nails, it just really, really irritates me. Yeah. What about you?
Okay, well, one thing that I hate is when people chew loudly. Like, I don't need to hear you chewing your gum, okay? Something between you and yourself, I don't need to hear it. Or chewing your food, or if you're chewing with your mouth open. Anything that has to do with chewing and me seeing it, I don't like.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
Also, another pet peeve is just, like, a person in general. Hamza, my brother, he's a pet peeve. Anything he does makes me mad.
Okay, so on a happier note, the last question is, what is at the top of your bucket list?
Well, at this point, I might seem obsessed, but what's on top of my bucket list is going to Turkey. And I really want to go to the village part and just, like, talk to everyone. That'd be really fun. Yeah. What about you?
Definitely to go to as many countries as possible. Like, people do their goals to, like, go to 30 countries before they're 30. So traveling as much as possible, and also skydiving, because I'm terrified of heights and I really want to get over my fear of heights by skydiving.
Let's go skydiving in Turkey together.
I'd be down for that. Sounds like a good plan.
I agree. Well, thank you guys for sending in your questions. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and remember to follow us on Instagram at RealTalkRealMuslim. Share this episode with your friends. And give us any feedback about the episode by messaging us on Instagram or email at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com. That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.